you can have nice things and you don't have to spend a lot of money to have them. And I don't know, maybe I'm just blessed with the value gene. But for the people who say YOLO, you only live once, here's what I say to you. Yo-yo, you're on your own, baby. And the only person who will take care of your older self is your younger self. I'll say that one more time. The only person who will take care of your older self is your younger self. And I'm just proud of my younger self that happened to care and take care of me.
What if you could step out of the day-to-day and see your business from a whole new perspective? Welcome to Above the Business, where we empower you to rise above the daily grind and embrace a higher way of business ownership. Get ready to build your business by design. Welcome to another episode of the Above the Business podcast. My name is Bradley Hamden, your host. On today's episode, we have a repeat guest for our third time, Mr. Tom Hegna. We had him on in the summer of 2020, and then secondly in 2022. We'll link those episodes down below for you to go and check those out. In this episode, we kind of talk about a lot of things that we've discussed in the past. We give you a lot of good reminders. Oftentimes, we need to be reminded more than we need to be taught, but also Tom gives some very practical things, whether you have clients that you're an advisor to, or whether this is just some good best practices for you yourself in your own journey to saving and understanding kind of how to balance spending as well, to cover a lot of topics. This is a jam-packed 20, 25-minute episode or so. Without further ado, here's my conversation with Tom Hegna. Ambition is the first step towards success. It's time to level up your agency. And Coach P Consulting will help you do just that by using the same strategies he used to sell over 700 life insurance policies in 2021 alone. Now, this is not your regular one and done type coaching. You'll get personalized coaching 2 days a week, every week of the month, and you'll get a live look behind the scenes of his team training and an office that's performing at the highest level. There's a reason Coach P Consulting is the fastest growing coaching company for insurance agency owners in the country. Coach P will train your team alongside his own and show you the exact steps they are taking to achieve Chairman Circle, Exotic Travel, and Multi-Line Presence Club, and be one of the few agents to be selected to have a third office. So whether your goal is to be at the top of your local market or amongst the best in the country, this training will give you the strategies and the tactics to get there. For just $250 a month, you'll get high-level coaching each week from someone who is already getting it done at that level, and his strategies work, and it's time to put them to work for you. Sign up at coachpconsulting.com and get your first full month for free when you mention the Club Capital Leadership Podcast. Tom Hegna, welcome back to the Above the Business Podcast.
Hey, it's great to be back with you.
Excited to be back with you as well. Well, it's been a couple of years since we've been able to catch up and have you back on the podcast. Obviously, there's a tremendous amount of changes that are happening just globally in the United States, et cetera. And many of our listening audience are advisors, insurance agency owners in particular. What are one or two things over the past, say, let's just go back 12 months or so, Tom, that you're seeing whenever you're speaking around the country to different insurance agency owners and advisors that you think is relevant for them to be able to know and lean into whenever they're talking to their clients?
Well, I think there's been an increase in positive articles surrounding annuities and life insurance that we haven't seen for a long time. I mean, BlackRock is coming out with white papers, the Alliance for Lifetime Income, Barclays, Wall Street Journal, they're all saying you should have some money in annuities. And so for all the years where people were anti-annuity, now things are coming around, they're learning about the math and science. But I also say agents need to start thinking about AI, how they're using AI. And there's many ways to use it. I mean, it could be as simple as putting the Grok app on your phone and just any question you ever have, ask Grok and it'll tell you the answer. You know, I always had a question about a business license. As a single employee in Arizona, do I need unemployment insurance? And now I don't, but I mean, Grok told me all this. And I mean, anything that you don't know, you can literally ask Grok and it'll tell you. I'm using HeyGen. I've created an AI avatar. It looks just like me, same background, same hair, same everything, but we can now customize my presentation. So I record one, let's say, hour-long webinar, but I can put a front and a back. My staff can do it. They just take my avatar and they say, hey, Bradley, thank you for having me today. It's a great day, isn't it? And then I'm going to turn it back over to you, Brad. And so it looks like it's a personalized webinar. And I mean, there's so many ways that agents and advisors, you should follow Panos Leilidakis. Panos Leilidakis. He's in the insurance industry. He's everywhere now. And he talks about AI. I mean, that'd be a guy to follow. So there's a lot of changes. I mean, we're going to be $37 trillion in debt any day now. We're paying more interest on the debt than the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, Space Force. Crazy. I mean, crazy stuff is going on.
For a lot of people, there's conversations happening about way down the road about what's going to happen to AI. And I'm going to leave those conversations up to Elon Musk, et cetera, those kind of people to have that. But definitely, I have been surprised, but there's a lot of small business owners that really have not leaned into using AI as a tool on a day-to-day basis and how it can really help them with their teams, and in some cases with their customers or their clients, whether it's in drafting some email responses, text message responses, et cetera. What are some other ways that you feel like that people can lean into using even just ChatGPT, which almost at this point feels like it's the basic one, and then there's all these other ones. What are some other ways that you feel like that business owners can lean into using AI?
I mean, I get on X, which is formerly Twitter, and there's a bunch of AI places there, and I get these AI reports every day emailed, and it's unbelievable what's going on in the AI world. But I was turned on to one called copyowl.ai, copyowl.ai. And what that does is you can ask it any question, and it'll either give you a really long response or as short as 5 to 7 pages, but it lists resources and they're all current, 24, 25. I just said, there've been a lot of changes in the RMD rules. Please clearly explain to me what those changes are, when they take place. And it printed me out a nice 7-page summary that had everything you want to know about RMDs. I mean, there's many ways to use it, but I took a course. I paid to take a course in AI so that I could get a little smarter in AI, because I don't want to be left behind either. And I'm nowhere near an expert in AI, but I do use it. My office uses it on a regular basis, and it certainly helps. Like, I have to come up with new articles and new sources. Like when I go through compliance, oh, that's 3 years old. Well, it's still true, but no, we want something newer. So then I got to go on an AI and they can find me newer things. So I'm using it, and I would think AI will not replace agents, but AI will replace agents who don't use AI. That's what I would say.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so including in some of those changes, people, and I just mean the general public here, not just advisors or agents, but there's so many different options in terms of what they can invest in, including, let's just say, crypto as an example. What are some of the things that you believe now, because you mentioned that there are some real positive articles coming out around annuities. How do you believe, and I'm sure it's fairly similar, but maybe there's a unique nuance to the way that advisors can begin to position annuities for their clients, given all of the different things that people can invest in, including obviously now, which is becoming more commonplace, crypto.
You got to really dig into what your client's risk profile is. And I think a lot of people in their 50s and 60s are like me. They want to make as much as they can make, but they don't want to lose what they've already got. Well, mutual funds can't do that for me. ETFs can't do that for me. Stocks and bonds can't do that for me. Only some of a form of annuity can do that, whether that's a RILA, whether that's a VA with a guarantee that you won't lose money over a 7-year period of time, which I know State Farm has available through Jackson, or a fixed indexed annuity for some of the other companies that have those available to them, where you can get participation in the upside, but no guaranteed no downside risk. And if people are in retirement, 60s, 70s, 80s, and you're looking at income annuities and paychecks and playchecks, and there's all this new research out now that talks about many retirees are behaviorally resistant to spending money. And that's me. I'm a saver. You know, I always say there's two types of people, spenders and savers. What are you? I'm a saver. And so my whole career, I save 30 to 40% of my income. My wife, she's a spender. So she makes sure we don't live in a hut and we have some nice things. But it's hard to turn a saver into a spender. And yet retirement's all about spending money. That's what all retirement's about, is spending money, traveling, you're playing golf, doing stuff. It all costs money. Every day, Saturday, so you spend a lot of money. How do you turn a saver like me into a spender? Because your agents see this all the time. They see clients, they got plenty of money and they don't touch it. Well, you got to turn some of that into income. And if you turn that into paychecks and playchecks, I'll spend my, remember, I own 13 annuities. I don't sell annuities. I own 13 of them. I buy them. And I buy these paychecks and playchecks and I'll spend those in retirement, because it's just like your paycheck. You can spend it. I don't have to save money anymore, but now I can spend that, but I don't have to go into my savings. And that's what many of the research is really talking about, that.
You know, it's interesting. Let's flip that also too, and talk about, I'll even give an example with this one. I think that no matter what it is that you're selling, advisory services or insurance products or golf equipment, it helps to have been a buyer of said product yourself. Let's be real, right? I mean, not always. I'm not saying that any product you sell, you have to buy yourself. I'm not saying that. But I think by and large, people get what I'm sharing here. Let's take a 35 to 45-year-old small business owner starting to actually make a little bit of money, right? The career is going into a good place. They maybe have younger kids, so they're obviously making investments in travel, basketball, and sports and other things. What are some ways that you believe that that profile should begin to kind of look at not just the traditional, they're putting money in their IRA or in their 401k, maybe they're doing some of that, whether they own a small business or not, but also beginning to shift some of that into looking to be able to purchase an annuity for themselves and shifting away from that spender mode where they are in life into even a saver mode?
Yeah. So my latest book is Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And I wrote this for 40-year-olds. I show them how simple it is to become a millionaire. And I say almost every single American could be a millionaire except for two simple things. Number one, they spend way too much money on their cars. And number two, they get divorced. So the moral of the story is drive a used car and stick with your first spouse. Now, I say that a little tongue in cheek, but as you know, divorce, it can wipe out a fortune. It hurts both people badly. But the number one reason most people don't become wealthy is they spend way too much money on their cars. Mm. And I have a new slide that I just put out, and it says, turn your car payment into $1 million. And I show a $250 car payment, a $500 car payment, and a $1,000 car payment. And every one of those, if it was invested at 7%, would be over $1 million. In fact, the $1,000 car payment would be worth over $5.4 million. And I know couples out there where both the husband and the wife have $1,000 a month car payments. I mean, do you honestly think that they know that they're driving their $10.8 million retirement down the road? It is the biggest waste of money. I tell people all the time, stop trying to look like a millionaire and focus on becoming a millionaire. And the number one way, I mean, there's really three ways. Number one, you want to make more money. And I show people how I help advisors make a lot more money. Number two, you want to spend less money and spend wiser. And number three, you want to have the majority of your money going into appreciating assets. Think about the average client out there. They got cars and boats and RVs and jet skis, and he who dies with the most toys wins. No, those guys are all going to lose, all right? You don't make money putting your money into depreciating assets. And even worse, people are charging things on their credit card. They're paying car payments. I haven't had a car payment in 30-something years, and they're paying interest on things that are going down in value. Here's a big lesson. If you want to help your clients, tell them you don't ever want to be paying interest on depreciating assets. If you can't buy it for cash, you can't buy it yet. You wait, and then buy it, because you don't want to pay interest on things that are going down in value. I mean, to me, it's common sense, but it's not very common.
No, I love that. And also, I think that I've had a iced coffee not long ago, that there seems to be a lot more people talking about don't spend the $5 on your Starbucks coffee. But the reality is, what you're talking about is where the money really actually is in that $1,000 car payment.
It's in the car payment, the RV payment, the boat payment, the truck. I mean, they get new tires and lifted tire. And I mean, what for? In 50 years, you're not going to remember what you drove. I mean, is this really where you want to put your resources into things that are going down in value? You might as well just take $100 bills and start burning them. I mean, if you like burning money that bad. But I put the majority of my money into things that go up. And boy, over time, they go up, and you can really do well. You mentioned crypto. And what's interesting is, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, I was the biggest crypto non-believer in the world. I mean, what is it? It's a greater fool theory. It's nothing burger. It's you got to find somebody stupider than you to pay more than what you paid. That's what I thought. And then I watched this thing on CNBC. I think it might've been Michael Saylor. And he laid out a totally believable case to a non-believer like me that Bitcoin could hit $1 million. He said more than $1 million. And he said, all we're recommending is that our wealthy people put 1% of their portfolio into Bitcoin. Because if it goes to zero, you won't notice 1%. It won't hurt you. It won't kill you. But if it goes to $1 million Bitcoin, you're going to be really happy you did it. Well, that resonated with me. I put 1% of my portfolio into Bitcoin back when it was $2,000 a Bitcoin. Now it's 106,000. It was 112,000 a couple weeks ago. I mean, I've never had ever an investment that's done that well. And it's way more than 1% of my portfolio now. But I do believe that there is a place for it. I wouldn't go crazy with it. I wouldn't put more than 5% of my portfolio, but I did 1%. And I would definitely recommend at least 1% just to have some exposure.
Are you an agency owner looking to grow your revenue, increase your bottom line, and better manage your taxes? Club Capital is here to help. Club Capital is the largest accounting and advisory firm for insurance agents in the country, providing monthly accounting, tax strategy, and CFO services. Way more than bookkeeping and your everyday run-of-the-mill tax prep, Club Capital is focused on providing financial and tax advisory services that help you plan and forecast your agency's performance. Their financial dashboards and agency forecasting tools help you better understand your agency's historical performance, create and measure future targets, and see how your agency compares to your peers around the country. Imagine what it would be like to understand the impact to your bottom line when deciding to hire a new employee, or forecast the impact rate changes or commission rates will have on your business. With over $200 million in tracked annual revenue and $140 million in tracked annual expenses, Club Capital has the data and the team to help you make better informed decisions for your agency. They will help you turn that back office stress into the backbone of your agency's success by giving you the tools to take your agency and your leadership to the next level. Visit club.capital today to book a solution overview with one of our business consultants. Club Capital, way more than a CPA firm.
I have to tell you, a few years ago, and I wish I would have listened to this guy whenever he was talking about it, but a friend of mine, he was really early on in talking about it, and he was throwing out about Ethereum. And I was like, what are you talking about? This was like when Bitcoin was like 10,000. So I signed up for Coinbase, and I just started dollar cost averaging, just putting in, I don't know what it was, $25 a week or something like that. And I forgot about it. And I went to my bank account, and it had just actually recently came out. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I've got that Coinbase account. And I went in there, to your point, looked at it. Look, and I was like, wow, okay, this is actually great. I mean, I wish I'd have been putting more into
that. For all the people who think it's stupid or crazy or it's Beanie Babies or Pet Rocks, it's not. It's been the number one performing asset class in the world for investments 1 year, 3 year, 5 years, 10 years. I don't think that's a Beanie Baby and that's not a Pet Rock. You got to take it serious. You don't have to go whole hog into it. But boy, when I was in Puerto Rico, I met some Bitcoin billionaires. They bought it when it was like 10 cents a Bitcoin and they threw $1,000 in there. And now they're worth billions. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is. There's one thing I want to ask you about. I'm thinking specifically about people who are certainly way above average. I'm talking about household incomes making $250,000 to $750,000, right? I mean, maybe two small business owners, potentially something like that, with combined incomes through their W-2, et cetera. So they're doing well. One of the things I'm curious on, that if you've seen any research on this or probably just anecdotally seen, is lifestyle creep. When we were talking about the cars, I was thinking about that, but then there's just everything else too.
The second house, more furniture, newer furniture, remodel the house. It's all that stuff. And I mean, some of those are good uses of money. I'm not saying they're all bad, but I'm just saying people just need to be more careful. I'll give you just a crazy example. My wife and I took our two grandchildren out for ice cream. They wanted to go to Froyo. I'd never been to Froyo. It's a frozen yogurt place. And they give you this little bowl and you put ice cream in there and then you put toppings on. They weigh in and then they charge you. So this was a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old. They get two ice creams. It was $22. Now, I saw families in there with five or six people. What are they spending, $60, $70 on a night of ice cream? I mean, are you serious? I was flipping out about paying $22. My wife was, come on, Tom, these are your grandchildren. I know, but it's stupid. It's crazy. Like, I did it. And we had fun. But I mean, nobody should be paying $22 for two ice creams for a 10 and a 12-year-old. But people, they just accept that. They don't find that wacky like I find it wacky. And I would never go back there, you know? I never would. But people go back all the time. The place was packed.
Yeah. And do you feel like that, and I could certainly be personally guilty, very much guilty of this, is just not paying attention, right? Not paying attention. You just kind of go through life without really actually recognizing, like, wait a minute,
then there's your
food
friends.
Tonight, it's $80.
Yeah, it's your friends and your spouse and they're doing it. And then you feel dumb if you question it. But you got to question, like, It's just being wise. It's not being cheap. It's a little about being frugal, but not to the point of stupidity. We've always had nice stuff. We had nice cars. We had nice, but I don't buy brand new. And we had a boat. We had a boat, but I paid $7,000 for it. And you know what? We drove that thing for 5 years. I had to put a new engine. It cost me $5,000. I sold it for $15,000 during COVID. So I bought a boat. I had to put in a new motor, and I still made money on the deal. So, yeah. And there was 10 years in my career when I was an insurance agent, where what I did was I loved red convertibles. I was in Phoenix. So I went out and bought the best red convertible I could find used, okay? The best value. And I would drive that for 2 or 3 years. Then I would sell it for as much or more than what I paid for. And I did that like 3 times. I did it over a 10-year period of time. So I had zero car payment at all for 10 years. And I think all the saving and investing I was able to do because I had no money going into cars really helped build my portfolio.
Yeah. And for people that their income is starting to go up, and maybe in some cases goes up quite a bit. I mean, they go from making $75,000 to within, you know, a handful of years. And this happens a lot, I think, with business owners specifically. It's $250,000. Okay, sure. They upgrade the house and some other things. But naturally, what is a framework that actually works for people that as income is going up, as their monthly disposable income, so to speak, is going up, that some of that, you're not advocating that all of it gets carved over into something, but
save at least 20%. That's my recommendation. If you want to do 15, okay, you're taking risk. 10% is just not enough in this environment, I don't think, but I'd say 15 to 20. If you're saving 20%, heck, you can go spend the rest of it. You should be giving 10% too. So give 10, save 20, live on 70. That's a good formula. That's a form. Now, I'm doing super tithing now, so I'm doing 20, giving 20%. I'm really not having to save anything anymore. I do save because I got some extra income but I am trying to spend now. We're going on cruises. We're going on traveling the world. And because, you know, here's what I tell people. Number one, you're not getting any younger. Number two, you don't get to take any of it with you. And when you think about it, you're not getting any younger. You don't get to take any of it with you. Retirement is all about spending money. The problem is people in pre-retirement out there spending their money, and you shouldn't be spending so profusely when you're in your 30s and 40s. Here's another thing. I have found that 30 and 40 year olds get impatient. They're frustrated. They're not rich, and they're just mad about it. And I've seen people say, well, screw it. I'm not rich. I'm going to buy the RV. Screw it. I'm going to buy the boat. I'm going to live for today. So what I would do with 30 and 40 year olds, I use the rule of 72. Now, you know that it measures how fast money doubles. You take the rate of return divided into 72. So if you get 12%, your money doubles every 6 years. If you only get 1%, your money doubles every 72 years. Well, I would use 7.2%. Why? It's a fair interest rate, and your money doubles every decade. So let's say I'm with a 30-year-old couple. They've done okay. I mean, they've saved up $150,000, their 401ks, their savings. It's not like they got nothing, but they don't feel like they're on, oh, we're never going to get rich. This is crappy. We don't feel like we're making it. And I say, no, you're going to be a multi-millionaire. Let me show you. You've got $150,000 right now in your 30s. And if you invest that at 7.2%, in your 40s, that's going to be $300,000. In your 50s, it's going to be $600,000. In your 60s, it's going to be $1.2 million. In your 70s, it's going to be $2.4 million. In your 80s, it's going to be $4.8 million. In your 90s, it's going to be $9.6 million. And that's just $150,000 you got here. You're going to be saving all this other money. You should have many, 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 many millions, but you're not going to have it in your 30s and 40s. You got to get over it. Nobody gets rich in their 30s and 40s. That's not when you get rich. You get rich in your 60s, 70s, and 80s. Okay, just accept it. That's the way it is. You may not like it, but have patience. Have patience and persistence, and you will become a multimillionaire.
You know, one thing I think that you do really, really well is that you balance both sides of the equation, both from the perspective. I mean, we've talked even just on this specifically around, again, as kind of the cars as an example, around the saving and making smart decisions. But then the other side of it is you give the balance of also spending and making sure that their retirement is about being able to do that. And so I think it really is a balance. And I think that there's such on either side, hey, YOLO, you only live once, and just go and do all the things without actually having an eye to it. It's catchier whenever people are talking about, like, don't do anything. Don't spend any money. And look, I don't know how you feel about him.
No, you got to live your life. You got to travel, but you don't have to stay at the Ritz-Carlton. Holiday Inn has some really nice resorts on the ocean. You know, you can stay at a Hilton Garden Inn. You don't have to stay at the Four Seasons. I'll just tell you, my wife and I have been on a couple cruises, and we stayed at the Four Seasons in Australia because we got this special deal that we could do it and tied with the cruise line. Okay. But we would never on our own go to a Four Seasons, like $600-800 a night. We went there. It was packed with young people, packed families in there. The problem is it's not just that the room is so expensive. You know how much breakfast was? $50 a person.
Yeah.
$50 yeah. for breakfast. So all these people that want to stay at the Ritz, they want to stay at the Four Seasons. No, stop that. That's when you have money. You don't do that when you don't have money. You do that when you're a multi-millionaire and you don't care if it's $500 a night. But if you're 30, you better darn well care that it's $500 or $600 a night. There's no reason to do that. There's great hotels at $100, $200 a night. So I just think people, they got it backwards. See, you want to spend money in retirement. You want to save money when you're younger. But what's happening is the younger generation is spending and the retirees aren't spending because they're scared. So you got to flip it. You got to save when you're young and spend when you're old. That's just the way it works.
But Tom, people got to post on Instagram and Facebook about all the trips that they're on and where they're staying.
Well, you know right? what? I had to deal with all that too. And I'm just so glad I was never blessed with a gene that made me worry about what other people think. I could care less what they thought about. We always had nice cars. We lived in nice houses. I wore nice clothes. It wasn't like I was a bum. I just wasn't buying brand new everything that they were all buying brand new. I get deals. We furnished both houses. We go to these consignment places where you get this high-end furniture for real cheap. I mean, I've got some of the best furniture around that we paid $300-$600 for a big dining room set that would have cost $15,000 if you went to, you know, one of those fancy places. So, I mean, you can have nice things and you don't have to spend a lot of money to have them. And I don't know, maybe I'm just blessed with the value gene. But for the people who say YOLO, you only live once, here's what I say to you. Yo-yo, you're on your own, baby. And the only person who will take care of your older self is your younger self. I'll say that one more time. The only person who will take care of your older self is your younger self. And I'm just proud of my younger self that happened to care and take care of me.
Man, what a great line. What a great line. Tom, for people listening, we're going to link in the episodes that we've done with you in the past down below. Tell people where they can pick up some resources, connect with you, learn a little bit more about how you can help them.
Yeah, well, I would connect with me on social media. I'm on everywhere. I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn, Instagram. I mean, I'm even on TikTok, if you can believe it. But that was just for my young people's book, my Who Wants to Be a Millionaire book. I got videos there. But I got TomHegna.com. I've got online training and coaching. I have a YouTube channel that's free. I have free training. If you go to TomHegna.com/webinars, TomHegna.com/webinars, there's like 7 free webinars. You don't even need a credit card to register. And there, you will get great content and you'll be exposed to some of my other opportunities. And we offer the best discounts on those webinars of anywhere else that you can buy my product. So if you're thinking about buying a product, go watch the webinar first. You'll get a big discount.
Tom, appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Thank you. Great to be with you again.
I always enjoy being with Tom. I think it's always such a good reminder, whether it's just me personally around expenditures, around saving, et cetera. And so for those of you that have clients that you do this work with, hopefully I know that he shared with you some things that you'll be able to take away. And obviously one of my biggest takeaways, is just a reiteration of the saving 20%. So I'm glad he shared that. Go to TomHegna.com/webinars, TomHegna.com/webinars. And thank you to our podcast sponsors of this episode, Club Capital, Autopilot Recruiting, and Coach P Consulting. If you want to be able to expand your team, I think business is a team sport, it's great to have a partner that knows exactly how to integrate themselves into your overall recruiting system. And Autopilot Recruiting can do just that. Go to autopilotrecruiting.com, autopilotrecruiting.com. I know many of you are already members of Coach P Consulting. Many of you already use Autopilot Recruiting for your recruiting needs. But if you've not at least jumped on and told David about that, you've heard him on the Above the Business podcast, and go and get that free trial where for one entire month, he's going to let you be able to go and check it out for yourself. And I think that being able to expose not only yourself, but also your team to some of the best practices, that things that are actually working that David has been able to utilize in his own business, but also to be able to help other people to really grow and scale their business. I think you're missing out. Go and do that. Let David know that you've heard about him on the Above the Business podcast and go and check it out for a month and see for yourself why so many people have jumped on board, but also they stay for a long period of time is because of the value that David provides. CoachPConsulting.com. Obviously, in this episode, we talked a lot about financials and club capital if you're a small business owner can help you to get on top of your financials so that you can put a plan in place to increase your top line, to be able to expand your profitability and be able to take more home for you, but also to be able to reinvest in the right places so you can scale your business, whether that's investing in your people, investing in marketing, investing in another office location. Club capital can help you. They can give you the mindset, the skills, and the tools needed to do just that. Go to club.capital. All right, everyone. That was a great episode with Tom. Hope you're doing well. Hope this summer is going fantastic for you and 2025 is off to one of the best starts for your small business. Thank you so much for your time and attention. And until next episode, lead well and go be great.